Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Devo Days of Our Lives, a friend. Thank you for joining us tonight for our weekly show. And you can follow us daily on our blog at devodaysofourlives.blogspot.com. And follow me on Twitter, just once in a while, I break news, at Diva of Dole. And also there's a couple of Facebook pages and all that. And you can find all of our links here on our show page. And tonight we have Miss Anna here.
Hello.
And we have Miss Marianne.
Hello.
Hello. So basically, I guess we should do a content warning because already have people saying they want to call in and complain and bitch. So the language might get a little colorful tonight. And just a little bit.
It's about time we get colorful again. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, because we had really bad news this week that actually our friend SJ leaked here last week when she said Matt Ashford was on the chopping block, and she was correct about Matt. And but before we get to that, I wanted to pimp our show on Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern with Patrick Muldoon, or we might be interviewing Austin Reed. We're not sure yet. We'll find out when the show happens, if it's Patrick or if it's Austin. Or it might be both. So if you did not hear our first call-in interview, I've interviewed Patrick twice. I did a 10-minute interview with him, too. If you didn't hear our live call-in one from January 15th, Patrick is absolutely freaking hilarious. I mean, seriously, you will be laughing out loud. So if you're listening it with your iPod or something, you know, just, you know, don't listen to it at church or something. Just, you know, go somewhere and you can laugh your head off. He is just hilarious, and there's no need to be scared of calling in and talking to Pat, because if you get tongue-tied, he will interview you and draw you out that way. He's just a lot of fun, and pick on him. He can handle it. He's a big guy. He can handle it. So, before we go on with the bitching, I would like Anna to discuss the interview we had on Monday with Lauren Coslow and Ian Buchanan.
Well, hopefully some of you guys were able to join us that night, but we had a really good time. Lauren and Ian, who play Kate DeMira and Ian McAllister on Days, and they've had some rather hot scenes lately. I'd say Friday through Tuesday were pretty intense scenes for them. Episodes for them. They are embroiled in a love story / triangle / tragic drama. We had a real treat. We got to have them on at the same time. And we just really had a great 2 hours. We had 2 hours with them and just had a blast. They played along with us. We got a little naughty at times and had a lot of laughs. And learned a little bit more about them, and we talked a lot about their characters and the story and their tortured past history with each other and current history and the situation with Stefano and everything. So we just had a great time. They were great sports and just had a blast. So, yeah, so we're really lucky to have them.
Yeah, Ian, I mean, Lauren's always been wonderful. We've interviewed her a few times. It's neat for everybody to listen to Ian if you never heard Ian before. He's naughty and he's a lot of fun, and he was wonderful. He's very easygoing too.
Yeah.
And
he's very relaxed voice. The accent kills me. Love it.
Yes.
I love the accent. Yeah.
The kittens with mittens and the kilt story was hilarious.
Yeah. Love the kilt story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was too funny. So.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with them.
Yeah.
Nobody could get to sleep after that interview. We were all up to like the middle of the night because we were all wired.
I was wound up.
And
yeah.
He's a lot of fun on Twitter, too. Go to Twitter.
Oh, yes.
And Guilt Trip USA. Oh, yeah. We had a nice little tweet orgy with him the other night. That was fun.
Yes. Tweet Ian Buchanan at Guilt Trip USA, KILTTRIPUSA. And, of course, at Lauren Coslow. And then also there's an account for Kate and Ian called Kian Fans, at KIANFANS. And he does like to, you know, we have gotten them into a few fun Twitter orgies. It's a lot of fun. We call it Dirty Kian Teeny Hour. So you have to join us sometime. So anyway, throw a few hoochies into the mix and you got trouble that way.
Oh yeah.
So lots of fun. So they're good sports, they really are.
But a bad sport is at Bob Kapka, who keeps not calling in even though he's on Twitter right flipping now.
Right, and he's arguing about Tony is dead, and no, Tony is not dead.
And
any good Tony fan knows that.
He's probably asking on there if we've pimped him yet. Yet he won't call in.
Yeah.
So the call in. Let's debate this.
I might not pimp him anymore unless he calls in.
Yeah, really.
Have to hold him hostage or something. No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. No, but he and at, and so you got at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka. And their son, or Bob's son, Mark Hapka, is filming a movie right now, who used to be on Days of Our Lives, of course, is Nathan Horton. He's filming a movie in Kentucky right now, so see him tweet every so often as well about that.
Yeah, so we're very happy for Mark, and he's moved on to a great career after Days. So, and you get to see where he gets a sense of humor from, because his parents are hilarious.
Twisted sense of humor, let me tell you.
Yeah.
He tweeted, I saw Mark tweeted today something like, if, you know, don't be offended, you know, I like to have fun. All this, I thought, well, gee, isn't that following the family's footsteps? Bob, you know, I often say, you know, follow Bob Hapka to be both offended and entertained, or not necessarily in that order. It depends on the day. But, yeah, so, yes, he definitely has his father's sense of humor. No, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah. So the big news that we had on Tuesday, well, Monday I put up the firings that we heard as a rumor, and we heard Patrick Muldoon, Matt Ashford, Melissa Reeves, and Lisa Rinna. But so we got 2 out of 4 so far. I mean, we could be right about Melissa and Lisa, but it ended up being Patrick, Matthew, Sarah Brown, and Christy Clark.
Christy Clark.
Yeah. So I know I was getting Christy and Melissa confused for some reason. I thought I had 3 out of 4, but I didn't. So and I have to say, Matthew thing, I know SGH is going to call in and we'll have her talk about that. I think that was the least surprise, because Gary Tomlin seems to have issues with him for some reason. And Gary didn't want him back in the first place. I guess that wasn't a surprise. And Sarah Brown, that would have been the logical person to go. Because she was a newbie and from General Hospital, and she wasn't really catching on with anybody. And I just thought out didn't like Madison, and I didn't like Bradison at all. But still, usually shows tend to keep the newbies. And it was Karen Austin, Christine Patrick. Yeah, you know, I guess it wasn't that much of a surprise. But but the fans have been fantastic. I mean, I've been following Days Online now for 7 years, and I've never seen everybody come together like they have to save these actors with Thursday's Twitter bomb at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, the hashtag Days Angry Viewer. And they tried it again on Friday, but for some reason Twitter kept saying it was spam and not letting it trend. It looks like they're in the and it looks like they're a lot of people's accounts got suspended and everything. So looks like everybody's going to try again maybe on Monday. And I'm giving props to Mitch from Daytime Royalty. It looks like he's the one who started the whole thing, so we give him props for that. And so it was great. And the point is for everybody to try to save the show. Because in my opinion, I mean, we've gone through this stuff before. Every 9 months, Cordae announces he's going to save the show, and he fires a bunch of people, and he rehires a bunch of people, and it never works. And what we're all saying is, we're all saying consensus, the problem really is the writing. It's really not the cast. But the ratings is not going to go up when you fire popular people like Matt, Christy, and Patrick. They're not going to go up. And Ann and I were talking about this on the phone today. Patrick's he's a pundit now at HLN. And we're like, why would you fire a guy who's on an international cable show? I mean, he's not really talking about Days that much, but they always say Patrick's on Days.
It's good PR.
Yeah, I mean, it's a CNN network, and so why would you get rid of him? And, and Liz Serena's really the only other one and Allison really, that promotes the show in such a big way like that. And, I don't see any other Days actors going on a CNN show and promoting it, so that was kind of odd. And actually, I enjoyed the Austin Carey Abby storyline. I mean, it was pretty good.
So, I was actually surprised.
He was good, and Patrick was really good in that.
I was actually surprised I enjoyed that, because I wasn't watching during the 90s. I took a break, and so I didn't know the original Carey and Austin very well. And I really enjoyed the story. I thought Kate Mancey did a great job, and I thought they did, Christy and Patrick did, and it held my attention, I got to admit. I was a little frustrated that they ended it so abruptly, a week or two ago. It was just kind of like all of a sudden it was over, and then Abby's back to supposed normal, and, I guess they are still carrying on with the drama with Rafe and Carrie and all that. But I know. I just feel sorry for poor Austin. I feel sorry for poor Austin.
I just asked Ashley to call in. We'll hear from her. Oh, what do you think about everything, Marianne?
What, with the firings?
Mm-hmm.
I did read, I don't know if you got, everybody read the interview with Greg Meng about the whole about the whole thing. I was just like, it was after a while, I was like, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing. Like, oh, we're going in a new direction. But we really liked, Marlene did well for us. And, they said the same thing about Higley when they fired him. But we're going in a new – they go in a new direction, like Kerrigan said, like, I don't know, every 9 months. Well, and it's the same thing. We get the same thing, and we don't get any new results. So,
right.
I mean, I guess I don't understand how this business works. It's just, to be an actor on a show like that, it's like, that has to be the hardest thing to do.
Oh, they must be
to
so
put up
frustrated
with that bullshit all the time. It just was like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's all about the ratings and the demographic. Okay. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, what's frustrating is the writers, and I feel like it's a, a lot of different things. I think, a lot of push-pull and a lot of people wanting different things. And I'm sure it's a very difficult job to try to please everyone and, end up pleasing no one completely or whatever. But I don't know. I think the writers showed that they could do good story, because the Will coming out story was at least a year in the making. And I think they showed that they could pull everybody in. I mean, that was one of the things that was puzzling about Greg Meng's comment in that article.
Oh,
that
made me mad.
He was saying that women don't really want to tune in to see that story.
Right.
And quite frankly, there were times that, aside from Kate's story, that was like the only other thing I enjoyed watching at times.
That was the best story.
I mean, last fall, I mean, there weren't a whole lot of things that I really was enjoying all that much. So, I personally wasn't originally, totally excited about the Will story, just because I figured Days would screw it up. But they actually did a great job on it. And it just shows that even if you're not, you know, if you're 12 and they write a great story for people who are 60, you're going to watch it if you want a good story. If you're if you're a heterosexual female and, you know, and you and they write a great story and a great umbrella story that has great acting and pulls the characters in and pulls you in emotionally and you're entertained by it, then you're going to watch it. You know, it's
right, if it's a great story, yeah.
You know, and so they show they've shown that they could do that with the Will story. And it was a great way that they, like, everybody kind of knew Will was gay except for Will, and he was the last to figure it out kind of thing. And the way they stretched it out and, like, overlapped his angst about that with the Sammy, EJ, you know, grief, sex, and all that, witnessing that and everything. So, I mean, they did a great job of making it interesting the whole way through. I'd say my only complaint of any of it is at this point his grandmother Marlena is following him around town, you know, stalking him, trying to keep reminding him that he's gay. That's the only part I haven't really enjoyed at this point. But, you know, it just it shows that there is a way to tell a good story, and you don't have to personally necessarily relate to the demographics of the story or the particulars of the story, but if it's a human story and it's well told and it's entertaining, like it has
and
been,
did you
then
see
we're going to watch.
Did you see where Marlene said that NBC wouldn't let her tell her story?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
yeah,
kind of, do you think NBC's getting pressured about telling
really
a gay storyline? And they go,
I hope that's not true in this day and age.
I hope we're past that.
I honestly haven't seen anything negative, like really much of anything negative about it. So maybe they're getting behind the scenes.
I just got that sense from when I read the article, and he says women
but
want
they
romance.
Did the outfit thing.
Well,
yeah.
It's a homosexual romance. So yeah, it's romance. It's almost like he was saying that's not a romance.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That was really odd.
So that's what
I
it came
yeah.
off as. It came off as very politically incorrect.
I thought it was really odd. Yeah, odd that they would pick the one story that really has carried us the last year and been compelling,
which
say that women
me, like,
don't want
they,
that.
What are they going to do with it now?
Yeah,
you can't
and,
take it back
and,
now. You can't say he's not gay. You can't go there.
Right.
That's not right.
Right.
I hope they don't do that.
And I've also enjoyed like the Kate and Ian story, like with the going into her background, their history, and everything. The problem, where I will complain about the writing there, and I don't know who's at fault there, but it seems like every 2 weeks they were switching gears on that story. So, like, he's been here for 2 months, and they finally, like, they actually had their romantic, you know, their get-together at the hotel. And then, of course, quickly after that, well, I guess we'll talk about that in a minute, but it's like there were so many stops and starts with that I think they lost some people at the point where Ian's like sniffing after Madison all of a sudden after he was kissing Kate passionately and saying she was the one he loved in the park, you know, in the Hortontown Square. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks later, he's sniffing after Madison and then back to Kate. I think the writing is at fault there. I really think that if it was the battles going back and forth about how to write it or whatever it might be, I don't know, but I feel like they really haven't until the point that they got to Kate and Ian this last week. I feel like the story was really choppy. So anyway, I don't know. That's kind of what I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on the writing. I think some of it's been really good and some of it's been confusing. So I don't know what battles NBC was fighting with.
Yeah, let's see what SJ has to say about the firings and probably Jack's lack of airtime. SJ?
Hi there. How are you?
Hey there.
Yes. Hi.
I guess you don't have anything to say, huh?
I have nothing to say. I have no opinion on anything that occurred this week. I'm just going to be silent. Well, I mean, in my opinion, you know, they're letting go four characters that they brought on after the September reboot or whatever they're calling it. But, I mean, if the viewers weren't turning in before that, and it's not going to be these particular characters that's the problem. It's not the actors either. I mean, how can you how can you blame Matthew for not bringing in ratings or not bringing in viewers? They're not showing him. He's not on. He hasn't. He's on maybe once a week, and when he was on, he was just supporting Jennifer or Abigail. They totally ditched his story. I mean, mm-hmm. that story had so much potential, but I don't know if that's one of the stories that NBC wouldn't let them tell or what. But I mean, you can't blame Matt for it because he hasn't been on, and so many people have been tweeting that it's not his fault. You've got such a great, talented actor employed to work on your show, and you're not even utilizing him. So I got wind of what was going to happen last week, and of course, you know, I told you guys, and I was really hoping it wouldn't happen. But, you know, if the first one to go is going to be Matthew Ashford, it always is. I mean, somebody tweeted, and, you know, in the last 10 years, he's been fired 1, 2, 3, 4 times. So, but I'll tell you what, the outpouring of fans, people that have contacted me wanting to help, and I'm not even having to do much this time, which is awesome. I'm actually being more of a follower than actually a leader, because there's so many people that are actually, you know, just taking this and running with it. I've got people tweeting me, sending me direct messages, and I don't get till 2 or 3 days later, but that's Twitter's fault. there's so much out there. There's people I've never spoken to that have never tweeted me before, I've never talked to. They're, you know, becoming my best friends because they're just taking this and running with it. And if you guys are listening, I really appreciate it. I mean, it's awesome. And Matt's very thankful, too, he you know, for all the outpour and the support and everything. And while we're talking about it, Matt wants to get to 10,000 followers. So if you're on Twitter, please ask your followers, your friends, everybody to follow Matthew Ashford if you're not following him. It's Matthew_Ashford. It's his Twitter handle. Let's get him to 10,000. We really want to do that for him. He wants it, and we're gonna get it. We're gonna do it. So. But yeah, I was absolutely livid Tuesday. I forget who had the article by Greg Ming, where he was talking about epic firings. And then before I could even finish reading that article, Soap Opera Digest broke that they were gone. So I wasn't expecting Christy Clark, though. That was not what I was told. So, but you know, there's more to come. I don't know if maybe they were not expecting the fans to be so, you know, angry and you know, form like we did. I don't know if there were supposed to be more firings later in the week or if they stopped or if they're waiting for next week or whenever, but
they're waiting, skeptical. They're probably waiting for the next news cycle. So they're, they're probably waiting to get another solid cover out of it. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. The whole Day's Angry Viewer Twitter bomb, I think that was awesome. And I was watching that hashtag explode. I don't get what Twitter's problem is, why they think it's spam. It's not spam. If you're gonna make something trend, like, you know, Justin Bieber is hot or something like that, you can let what we're doing trend. I don't get that at all. So.
Yeah, I don't get why Justin Bieber gets the trend every single day, and that's not considered to be spam. That doesn't make any sense to me at all whatsoever.
Of course, Justin Bieber doesn't make any sense to me at all. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I even asked, because we have the Angry Birds app, I follow the iPhone team on Twitter, and I asked them if they had an app for Day's Angry Viewer, like Day's Angry Birds. It's like, that would be cool.
Yeah.
We'll need it. I have a feeling it won't. I have a feeling even if this passes, we'll still need that app.
I think it would be good for them to develop that app and go ahead and start selling it, because I think they do well.
uh,
But yeah, I wasn't surprised at all about Matthew. Not at all. As soon as I heard Tomlin was coming back, I thought, "Oh crap!" And then I get that inside information. I'm just like, you know, great.
I mean, you can't say you're trying to save the show, and then you fire, and you bring back the two guys you fired last year for killing the show.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Like, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I know that they said that they have until September 2013, you know, a whole year and some months before the show could be canceled or they have their, you know, the contract. But to me, it sounds like they're trying to sink the ship. I don't know. I don't want them to, but it just sounds like that. I mean, you know, you're like you just said, you fired two people that weren't working out, and then you bring them back.
Well, I can throw out a few maybe positives, is just that, like, Dina had, what, 3 years plus to ruin the show, you know?
True.
And at least they're cycling him out quicker. No, and I don't mean any disrespect to the writers that were there. I think, like I said, I think they did some good things, and they did some not so good things, and we may never know, we probably never will know, what they really wanted to do versus what NBC wanted them to do. And it may not have been, maybe NBC didn't agree with what the writers were wanting to do. Maybe they saw that it was going to be a train wreck. Maybe they weren't happy with some of it. So, I mean, there's probably a fair amount of blame to go around. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that, I mean, bringing Lorraine Broderick in and such, I'm hoping that, and, you know, Tomlin was executive producer. He's a writer right now, you know, co-head writer. I there's pluses and minuses to that, I'm sure, but, you know, I'm hoping that at least in NBC's mind, the programming executives, that in their minds, their intent is to continue the show and to try to give it a good shot of renewal. Now, there's ways of defining that, and, one thing I think we're forgetting is when they made the announcement or one of the articles that came out, they did say that some of these may be called back later. It could be that they felt like they had to do cycle them in, cycle them out, and maybe start fresh. And then maybe, because I could see, like, you know, even Carrie and Austin, even though I've loved their story, maybe they felt like they got into a stopping point, send them back to Switzerland for a while, and then bring them back. You know, it's very possible. I mean,
possible.
I'm looking at it that maybe there will be a time again for another story for them to come back, you know. So so I'm just kind of thinking, I mean, the only one, honestly, and it's no offense to the actress at all, the character just did not work, is Madison. I haven't seen anybody complain about that character leaving, and nothing against the actress.
I know. I felt so bad for her that I even threw in a tweet for her, because as I was watching watching everybody tweet, it was all Matt and Christy and Patrick. Matt, Christy and Patrick. No one was tweeting about Sarah.
Yeah, and I felt bad for her.
I
did feel bad for her on that. You know, and again, it's nothing personal about the actress or their talent or anything. Honestly, I think the character sounded okay on paper, but the way they executed and the writing of it, you know, let's face it, rarely brings in new characters and does them justice. I mean, they always run them into the ground or write them poorly. It doesn't even matter who's in charge. It seems like that always happens. But so if you're a new character, it's really an uphill battle to make it because of that. So I think it's only fair, since we have talked about the vets, that, you know, we mentioned her, that it was all, you know, that it's nothing personal. It's just, you know, obviously longtime Days fans have passion for the characters that they grew up with, that they're familiar with. And Madison was a new character and maybe well conceived but ill executed or poorly executed or whatever, not on her part, but on the writing and the storytelling. The pairing with Brady, I don't think it ever worked. I don't think it worked from day one. And it only kind of got worse as it went along. And no offense to the actors, again, because, I'm a big fan of Eric Matzoff. So, I mean, and I wasn't a big fan of his when he first came on board, but I like him now. I like the character now. But I don't know.
So I just want to throw that out, that I think, you know, the passion was for these vets that we've grown up with as Dave's viewers. You know, you bring a new character into the mix, and, you know, I didn't see a whole lot of, you know, mourning over the loss of that particular character, not the actress,
no.
But the character.
No, there's really not. And I did feel bad about her, about that. But I have two things I want to mention that I just thought of. The first one is Jack and Jennifer, mainly Matt community, is hopeful that maybe he is one that they want to bring back. Maybe, I don't know, there's been some things tossed out. Maybe Jack goes on assignment or something. Maybe they let him be a journalist again. He goes on assignment. Maybe he just takes some time and comes back. I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah.
But, like, Melissa Reeves' contract is up in September, so I don't know what'll happen there. But that is something to think about, is that Melissa Reeves' contract is up in September. What was the other thing? I can't remember the other thing.
One thing I was going to ask you, SJ, is what you think of, did anyone find it odd or peculiar that, even though they taped 3 months in advance, both the Jack and Jen story and the Abby Austin Carey story, they all, like, wrapped up just like that the week or so before these announcements were made?
Right.
I just thought that was, have they known for 3 months that they were going to do this? Because,
well,
especially the Jack
yeah.
and Jen thing was, like, kumbaya all of a sudden, like, whoa, where'd that come from, you know? And then as soon as that airs, like, wasn't it like the next week? I could have my timing off. It wasn't like a week ago Friday that they had the Kumbaya episode, and then like Tuesday.
Jack and Jennifer just got back together last Friday. I mean,
Tuesday it's announced, and
celebrate,
so
like 2 days.
It was almost as if they knew 3 months in advance they were going to do this, and they did the Kumbaya episode and timed it so that the announcement came out after both of those storylines were resolved.
Right.
And you wonder, did they expedite the resolution of those stories? Because especially the Jack and Jen thing still had a lot of legs. And the Abby, while it had kind of run its course, the Abby Austin Carey story really, I mean, I guess it still has legs because she still cares for Rafe, for whatever reason. So that still has legs from that standpoint. But honestly, they could have still drawn that out and made it interesting for a while longer. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever get tired of watching Patrick Muldoon squirm.
Yeah, I know.
He's the best squirmer ever. But, I mean, we could have had a few more shirtless Austin scenes, you know, things like that thrown in. But, what's your observation on that, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, okay, the whole Jack and Jennifer thing, I mean, okay, Jennifer was mean toward Jack, was had a cold shoulder towards Jack, didn't want to have anything to do with Jack, only wanted Daniel. I'm going to date you both and see. But it was obvious they were putting her with Daniel. It was Daniel. Jack was going to lose. You know, it looked like it was going to be Jennifer as an endgame. Then all of a sudden, they decided that they didn't want to break up this super couple, as per what Sean Christian said in an interview, is that Daniel was coming between a couple that had been together for 1,000 years, or however he put it. So then it was this wham, bam, thank you, ma'am reunion where Jennifer all of a sudden in one episode, instead of pushing Jack away and putting Jack down and all that, all of a sudden, I love you, I want to get back together. And, of course, then Jack is, you know, like, what are you
like,
talking
oh?
about? Lady, you've been pushing me away for months, and all of a sudden you want me? So, you know, he runs. And then we don't see him again. And then they have a little moment at Horton Square, and we don't see him again. And then he bails her out of jail, and we don't see him again. Well, no, actually, he bails her out of jail. They find out Abby went Looney Tunes. Then that is dropped immediately. I mean, there's no fallout from that. They don't think maybe we need to get our daughter some help or anything along that line. Everything's hunky-dory and fine the next day. And then Jack and Jennifer have a 10-minute conversation about, you know, well, you're my future and I love you and I can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, they're back together, tra-la-la, let's go skipping through the hospital. It was definitely forced. It was definitely rushed. And you might be right that they had this plan, because they reunited them on Friday. I got wind of he was getting fired on Saturday.
And Tuesday they broke it, and the only reason it was Tuesday is because I know Matt and Missy were not in studio on Monday. They came in on Tuesday. And ironically, a message board devoted to Devereaux, which has been around for ages, sent in a cake with a wanted poster with Jack and Jen, with a Matt and Missy's picture on it that said, "Wanted, Jack and Jennifer Devereaux in a story." It was a simple, nice cake. Matt and Missy got it. Matt posted a picture on his official, on his Facebook page, and he was like, "Ironically, we get this all day, of all days." I mean, it was, they sent in support. They sent a cake or cupcakes or something to Corday and to Greg Ming, and then they sent the cake to Matt and Missy. And ironically, that's the day that Matt got fired. When you read his post on his Facebook page, to me, you could just tell how sad he was. I mean, just through his post. But he's also very thankful for the outpouring of the support that fans are giving him, you know, which is great. I've been reading some of the tweets people are sending him. I mean, he is very respected. Matt is a very
popular
actor.
I hope he gets the Emmy nomination or whatever. Well, the nomination
I hope he wins
out
it.
May 4th or something.
May sometime.
Mm-hmm. I hope he gets it, and I hope he wins. And I really, hope that they're going to sit down and they're going to rethink these moves. It's not the actor's fault. It is not their problem. I mean, it's not their fault what's going on within the show. They act out the stuff that they're given, and they try the best they can to make it work.
Sure.
I mean, Matt has probably been on 5 times this, you know, since January. It might be a little bit more than that, but honestly, it's probably about 5. And he knocks it out of the park, even if he's in a crowd scene, you know, talking to Abigail. I mean, it's just...
Well, it's frustrating, too, because I was really enjoying the post-traumatic stress disorder story. And I mean, I was hoping they wouldn't get, like, too preachy and documentary style on it. And, I mean, I thought that group meeting was good, and I was really excited to see him explore that some more. And, you know, and then what happens? You know, we don't ever see it again. I think there's one other reference after that group meeting, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe there was more.
The only reference was in Jack and Jennifer's, you know, 5 minutes. You know, let's get together.
I think what might be cool is if they, you know, like I mentioned last week or the week before, that one of our people who follow the Diva, Sherry, she had said, man, this Abby story would have been a perfect time for them to go back in history, and with Laura Horton, her grandmother, having been killed, and really play on that, and that would have tied in with, you know, she's getting it from her mother's side, but yet her father can actually relate to it in an even different way than, you know, being the daughter of someone with it. You know, he can talk about what he's dealing with his struggles with post-traumatic stress. But, you know, that they could have really made something of that. So maybe that's something to lobby for, that, hey, you know,
right.
You know, Abby's still crazy. She needs her parents, you know, something like that. You know, I don't know, because that would pull Jack and Jen together, because a lot of times parents will unite when they, you know, it will be a legitimate and believable reason for them to get together instead of kumbaya, you know, let's make up over coffee. You know, so
they didn't
have
coffee. They made out in front of the pub. They didn't even go in and sit down.
I'm kind of hoping that maybe in 3 months or, you know, 4 or 5 months down the road, maybe they can bring some of these guys back and, you know, with fresh stories.
If they put it that way, if they said, okay, we're going to send some characters off screen for amount of time, and then we're going to bring them back and try to reboot or revamp or whatever, that would be better than saying we fired them.
Epic,
you know?
Firing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, epic firing.
Right.
What is an epic firing? No one wants to lose their job. Why would you put it as an epic firing? That was just horrible wording. Epic
firing. Well, I thought that article was really odd anyway. That was a really odd interview.
It really was.
I don't know.
There's a lot on a lot of levels. I think it was odd. I don't know.
I think they're all odd.
I don't know, but I just really am suspicious that they maybe have known 3 months ago. And, you know, and that sort of begs the question, if you're going to cycle, again, maybe the show saw the writing on the wall and said, hey, we got to do something. We need to change the writing. Let's change, you know, let's maybe, okay, so we brought back two people you already have, but then we brought back an Emmy Award winning, you know, recent Emmy Award winner, you know, Lorraine, and a lot of people are excited about her. She's a breakdown writer. For this particular run. And, you know, maybe they said, let's give it a shot. Now, you know, a lot of people have been talking about how critical they are about the 3 months advance taping. It seems like, because Y&R only tapes a month in advance. And it seems to me that, you know, that's another factor in this whole thing. A lot of people have brought it up, and I know that Dave does it for budget reasons. But, you know, maybe they really should look at cost-benefit analysis on this and say, okay, maybe we save X amount of money by sending everybody dark for a week every month, but maybe we'd save more because we'd have revenues coming in from people watching it if we could retool things faster and get bad storylines off and bring in better ones, you know, or retool them quicker. You know, respond to the audience a little sooner. You know, because there's something to be said for letting something percolate and something, you know, marinate and people get used to it and grow, it grows on them. Because there's been times where I thought, oh, I'm not going to like this, and I ended up liking it. It just took time. But there are other times, you know, like Koff Taylor, for example, you know from the word go. You know it's bad when they have to bring two different actresses in and it still doesn't make it. You know, so it's like they could have saved us all a lot of grief by just getting rid of that story a month in, you know?
I agree. You need to stop bringing in new characters and bring back old characters that we already know and are invested in and stop characters that we don't know.
Yeah.
They don't seem to work.
And the whole filming... Go ahead.
I was
going to say, the whole filming 3 months in advance, they have no time in order to fix anything that is broken or is wrong. And then also, okay, here we go. This week we found out that, you know, four characters will be leaving Salem, you know, three popular. Okay, how are you going to get invested in the Austin, Carrie, Rafe, you know, Nicole?
Not 3 months.
Right.
Yeah, because it'll be over in 4 months. Yeah, they're going to be gone by July or August,
I actually sat down, and despite my anger, I watched yesterday's episode, most of it, and first off, Christy Clark is awesome. Why they are letting her go is beyond me. She did a great job. Yeah, but the thing is you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, Rafe and Carrie could work out, but I know she's fired. So I know they're not going to get together, so why am I going to invest my time in this? Because I already know the ending. I already know the outcome.
And it's three months, so we know,
It's 3 or 4 months down the line that this is going to happen. And then next week the spoiler comes out that Madison and Brady do get engaged, that Ian's going to give Madison, you know, he's going to give her divorce. Okay, that's great, but we know Madison's leaving, so we know that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it's like... It's just too far ahead. It is too far ahead. A month, maybe.
Yeah.
Three?
Yeah. Exactly. So they basically just lost the impact of the story for the next 3 months for some of these characters.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get invested in these characters because they're leaving. And as far as Jack and Jennifer goes, from my understanding, they're not in much in the next few months anyway. I'm not sure about Jennifer, but I know Matt's not. I know that it's been said that he's been in some crowd scenes and things of that nature. But not any real, you know, juicy, meaty scenes. But I'm not sure what they were filming on Tuesday, but Missy was dressed up and Jack was in a suit, so I'm not sure what they were filming.
Rumor has it it was the Lexi Memorial, and there's a wedding.
That's
the rumor. Yeah.
Maybe Jack and Jennifer got married. It would be nice for them to give us another wedding before they put him in another walkabout or send him to an ashram, or what are they going to do with him this time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think Missy Reeves is in trouble of being fired?
I don't know about fired. I don't think they would fire the Horton Golden Child, but I do believe maybe she wouldn't renew her contract, or they may say, who knows? Because I know I'm just going off here, but you wanted the bit session. Here we go. a lot of people have tweeted, and it's nothing against Melissa Reeves, but she has, and Diva, you said this yourself, she does not have any chemistry with anyone but Matthew Ashford.
Yeah,
I mean,
no
Jennifer
chemistry.
Was boring, and Frankie was boring, and Patrick was boring, and whoever else that they've put her with recently in years past is never going to top, and the fans are never going to accept her with anyone else. Several years ago, when Missy, in 2006, when she decided that her and her family were going to Tennessee and that she was leaving the show, and of course Matt had to go too. They said that no one is going to, Concordia said, no one is going to accept Jack without Jennifer. Well, I'll be honest with you, Ken, no one is going to accept Jennifer without Jack either.
Right.
At this point in time, after 20 years of being a super couple, you know, they either go hand in hand or neither, and that's just my opinion. I don't want anybody to lose their job, but I believe in this course of time with the show, they need to either be together or apart. But I will say this: I would love for them to give Matt a chance to work with someone else, and because he has chemistry with lots of people. We were on the Jack and Nicole kick for a while, which didn't happen. Although I think that instead of Rafe being the one there for Nicole, it would have been really funny if it had been Jack. That would have been a really great thing.
He would have been funny,
Jack to pretend to be the father of Nicole's baby and to see what happened with that would have been really good, but they didn't go there. But I don't know what's going to happen, but, we did hear that there was going to be more firings, so we'll see.
Sweet discussion. Yeah, I totally agree that Melissa just hasn't really had chemistry with anyone. Like, maybe before Jack, she had chemistry with Frankie, but now it just doesn't work. But, I mean, I've met Matthew, and he's a very attractive guy, and he's going to be very charming, and he's a naturally sexy man. And, I mean, he kind of worked it with Greta. Yeah, Jack and Greta were kind
of
sexy.
Got a sense of humor,
Jack and Billy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I think that writers and producers in the past, is Jim Riley didn't like Matthew either, is that they don't see him as being sexy. But the thing is, women, we do find smart men sexy. And that's one thing about Matthew. And yes, he can be a goofball, and that can be annoying sometimes. But, that's part of his charm, but I think the problem is that the men who write to produce the show, they don't like him. And same problem with Brian DiTillo. Riley didn't think he was attractive. Tomlin said he really wasn't leading man material. So, I think Brian is going to be gone too.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why don't you let the women judge who's sexy? You know what I mean? And so, I don't know, maybe they all think Melissa's, the sexy one of the couple. I don't get it. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Okay, if you take a poll of Days of Our Lives viewers, if you want to know who the most popular character of the Jack and Jennifer couple is, it's going to be Jack. There's so many Jack fans. I have not come across anyone who is just a Melissa fan. I mean, I know they're out there, but when it comes to the couple, you mainly people pull for Jack. It could be because the character and the actor has been so mistreated over the years. But, Jack is the more popular character. And I will say this, and I could be wrong, but I think if they had never put Matthew with Melissa back in 89, the character of Jennifer Horton probably wouldn't be as popular today as she is. That's just, my opinion. But, but again, I don't want her to lose her job or anything, but I just think if they're going to get rid of one at this point, they've got to get rid of the other. I mean,
And I have to admit, I enjoyed the political storyline. I enjoyed her, her and Nicole. You know, she and Nicole going head to head and babbling behind the scenes and all that. I really enjoyed that. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think, I'm not of the opinion that they both have to be in a romance with each other to necessarily, you know, be successful on the show. But I don't know. I'm just kind of hoping that after the dust settles, they can bring Jack back, you know, and somehow, I don't know.
When does Matthew finally say, enough is enough, you fired me too many times? But the thing is, they fired him, but if they asked him to come back in 3 months, he would probably do it for his fans because he knows how important he is,
right,
his character is to us.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he'd come back.
Yeah, I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but I just my gut tells me that they figured this out 3 months ago that this is the plan.
Because
there's no other reason why they had to have that kumbaya BS when they did, if they hadn't decided at that point that's what they were going to do, that they stopped writing for them and they just slapped them back together. And then I don't know what's coming next for the story, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. But
I have to say, I mean, on the blog, I had some lot of nasty comments directed mostly Reeves on it, and I had to delete a few of them, but some of them were wild speculation that were, if I would have said them, I would have been sued. So that way.
Wow.
So, yeah, that some of the stuff they said about Melissa was really, really bad, so I had to delete them. But so to me, I don't understand all the hatred towards Melissa Reeves that's going on right now.
No, it's
not
her
just
fault.
Way over the top. No, it's not her fault. Matthew got
not
let
at
go.
All. No, and I'm sure she's just as upset as we are. Although it was brought to my attention today that she's still not following Matt on Twitter. So I wish she would follow him.
Oh man, that's funny.
But no, it's not any other actor's fault, actor or actress's fault on the show. They didn't do the firing. It's not Melissa Reeves' fault at all. No one should blame her for anything. I don't get that. That upsets me. I sent out a tweet about that in case it was anyone that was following me was doing any of that. I don't approve of that. It's not her fault at all. It's not her fault at all. I just don't get that.
And what is your Twitter handle?
Oh, yes, my Twitter handle. In fact, yes, I'm going to pimp myself. I am at Save Jack and Jen on Twitter. Be sure to follow me for, and I two N's, Save Jack and Jen, J-E-N-N. And I will retweet anything that I see in my timeline that's important or informative. I've also got campaign pages already set up that I just had to start using again. So I've been bringing them back out. I've already got the Bring Back, Matt page on Facebook, so we'll just keep using that. We also have the Jack and Jennifer fan group on Facebook. Great people that are very supportive. They're doing a lot of work. And also today there was a site created for Saving the Veterans, all of them, which I tweeted, and I'll retweet that later. There's several new Twitter handles that have popped up, like Save Days, and I can't think of, I saw one other one that are popping up too. So if you want the information, follow me, and I'll pass it along to you for sure. And I also tweet other stuff, and I can be a bit of snarky, and I do like to make fun of the show. So
yeah.
Just take what I say with a grain of salt. But also, if you get tired of me retweeting lots of stuff, then I'm sorry. I actually lost followers during our tweet bomb on Thursday. So I was like, I watched them. I lost like 6, but then I gained 17, so it was okay.
How many times were you in Twitter jail on Thursday and Friday?
Between 4:30 and 5:30, I was in Twitter jail about 5 times, I think.
Wow.
And then I learned how to space it to where it didn't do whatever. So I'd never been in Twitter jail before, but I was proud to go.
Oh, it was for a good cause.
Yeah, it was.
If George Clooney can do it go to jail for his cause,
yes.
Then
go to Twitter jail for mine. Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you for letting me rant and rave. I'll hang up so someone else can rant a little bit. But just want to thank you for letting me call in over the past couple of years and vent, and for all your support and for everything that you guys do. I've met a lot of cool people through this, mm-hmm. and even if even if things do not work out and they do not change their mind and I stop watching the show, doesn't mean I'll stop keeping up with the show, because I like all you guys. There's a lot of good friends out there, so I just wanted to say that.
Well, we love you.
Yeah,
I love you guys.
So much.
Thank you.
Yep. All right,
yeah.
I'll see you in the chat room. Bye, everybody.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh,
she almost made me cry.
She's so sweet.
She's
a neat girl. I know.
Yeah, and she's so knowledgeable, and I love talking to SJ, and
let's
she's co-hosted before.
Wiki Days.
Yes, Wiki Days. Because she knows everything about Days, and she's awesome. And we've all been retweeting it, and there was that Twitter petition for all three of them, and all of them individually, and Austin and Carrie together. So, and that's been going around. I have them on the blog, too. So, and I remind everybody, it looks like they're going to keep doing the Twitter bombs at 4:30 Eastern all week. But I think they're kind of debating on what the hashtag is going to be. So when I find out what the hashtag is for Monday, I'll put that on the blog and I'll tweet that too. So I think they were kicking around doing like save Austin or save Patrick or save Christy and save Matthew. Like there'll be like an after a day or something. They were kicking that around, which is a cool idea.
And one thing for those who don't want to see all those retweets but don't want to unfollow people like Save Jack and Jen and stuff like that, I believe there is a way that you can change your settings so that you don't see the retweets of someone, you just see their regular tweets. So mm-hmm. you might want to, depending on what application what app you use for Twitter and everything, whether it's web Twitter or whatever, there are ways that you can do that if you are aggravated by it and don't want to see it, but don't want to unfollow good people. There is that option out there, but hopefully you'll be one of the people retweeting and annoying everybody else like we are.
Really?
But anyway, that's just an FYI. So, what else do we have? We haven't talked about the show much other than the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, do you want to talk about the... Stefano, Kate. Well, yeah, I'm assuming you would like to talk about Stefano, Kate, and me. And
but let's just put it this way: next week is a Kate fan's dream and nightmare, because she's actually for a change on all 5 days. So you're Kate fan.
Oh.
She's on all five days. However, it's going to get pretty ugly. Poor Kate. That's all I can say. So if you want to see Lauren Coslow tortured as Kate, not literally tortured, but then,
close enough.
She's going to be put through the ringer, so to speak. So, definitely some good drama coming up, although I know for us Kate fans it's going to be hard to watch. But mm-hmm. basically she... to summarize what happened with Kate and Ian and Stefano last week as far as that story goes, Kate, basically Stefano decided for whatever random reason, we don't know the reason why he decided to test Kate, but he sent her he meant for her to get the package of pictures of him trailing Marlena. He meant to lead her on and make her think that he was falling back into obsession with his, quote, queen of the night, Marlena. And so she got a package the week before that had pictures of him, pictures of her, and minute-by-minute details of what her itinerary was, where she was, what was going on.
And he wanted Kate basically to feel like Stefano was, you know, hot for Marlena again. And even though it bugged the Kate fans for Kate to get so upset about that and jump to conclusions so easily, we have to remember that Kate and Lauren agreed with this when we talked with her last Monday. You know, every villain, every tough character still has weaknesses or else they'd be cartoons. And Kate has always, for many, many years, this has been a sore spot for her, whether it was with John and the Marlena situation or Kate and Stefano at different times, that, you know, she's always had that as her one, like, Achilles heel, just the thing, the weak spot there, that Stefano, that her, the thought in her mind that Stefano still had feelings for Marlena, even though they weren't reciprocated. So this goes right to the heart of her, probably one of her biggest insecurities, and he knew that. So he set her up, which is pissing me the hell off, I just might add, that he would do that. And we don't know the reasons why at this point in the story. But anyway, she falls for it, basically crumbles, and, you know, Ian, she sees Ian. Well, actually, she sets Ian up. She accidentally, quote-unquote, runs into Ian at the Horton Town Square. He can tell she's upset, and I love how he wants to comfort her. And as any good horn dog would, he offers to comfort her in the privacy of his own hotel room. Swoop right in, Ian. Let it go, dude. Anyway, so he invites her to his place so that they can talk privately. And talk they do, and in that conversation discover that, and we talked about this one last week, that he had reasons for why he had abruptly abandoned her. It was to protect her from a competitor that was basically blackmailing him, saying that he was going to expose Kate's secrets, her history, and embarrass her and ruin her newfound business opportunities by leaking this information and basically blackmailing Ian into breaking up with her. So that it forced him into breaking up with her so that he could then go fight for this guy for this business deal. And so essentially he was protecting Kate as the way it was framed, but she couldn't know about it because he felt like he was going to need to shake this guy, this competitor, forever. So their breakup had to be forever, and it had to be real. And when Kate realizes that he sacrificed, she's processing all this and realizing that he did it for her. You know, this is opening up an old wound for her because she loved him, and he just dumped her one day without any explanation. And so when she now realizes, whoa, he really did love him. And then, of course, Ian's telling her, I've always loved you. I've always, cared for you. But I had to let you go to protect you. Wow, you know, emotions, you know, all that stuff. So of course, you know, they talk through things and everything, and eventually, you know, he says, I knew it had to be forever. And she's like, well, or that we could never be together again. She says, well, in my experience, never doesn't always mean never. And that was his cue to swoop in. So we actually got to see Kate in a bed romantically with a man, which has been a while. I mean, Kate gets a bad rap for getting around town, but she never seems to get, you know, an actual bedroom scene or any of that. So we Kate fans are happy, and we love Ian, and we enjoyed seeing them together. So it was, you know, nice to see them in a romantic setting and the afterglow and all that stuff. And on Tuesday we got some flashbacks of the seduction the day before. And so they're enjoying their time together, and they're processing the fact that they've missed each other all this time, and they have time to make up, and da-da-da. And then it suddenly hits Kate. Oh, yeah, I'm married to Stefano de Vera. Oh, shit. And then suddenly,
one little problem.
She starts getting dressed. And one kind of funny note, and you guys can jump in if you want, but this is funny. I asked, because in the scene, the love scene, Lauren had gloves, these gloves on, and then when she was in bed, she didn't have them on anymore, and then she got them on to get ready, you know, to pack up and leave. And we were joking about, like, wow, you really did that fast. How'd that all come about? You know, and Lauren had the best comeback. She's like, well, you know, Kate was, you know, basically, she was in that business for a long time, and she just got really good at getting dressed fast and stuff. So we had fun with that. Mm-hmm. So
then she basically leaves, and she tells Ian, you know, before she leaves, they have a lot of dialogue talking about he's telling her that he loves her and he wants her back, and he, you know, he's ready, he's willing to divorce Madison, and just, you know, Madison wants a divorce anyway. So, she runs out and basically says, no, we can't do this. You know, I'm married to Stefano. And essentially now she realizes not only is she in deep doo-doo, but Stefano's probably going to go after Ian and want to kill him. So she's trying to distance herself from Ian now to protect him, just like he distanced himself with her 20, 25, however many years ago, to protect her. So it's kind of cool how that turnabout has happened. And but Ian assures her that he's not worried. I love a man with confidence. He's not at all worried about Stefano for some reason. So on Tuesday, they go to Kate's at the mansion. She realizes she's looking in the mirror. She has flashbacks of her and Ian's time together the day before, and you get to see some scenes that we didn't see in the original play on Monday. Date on Monday. So then basically she's thinking, oh my God. And then who shows up at the door, of course, but Ian. And he got the best line. Even Lauren tweeted about this, the best line of the week. Now, it was cheesy, but it was still the best line of the week. She opens the door and he's like, I'm your lover, let me in. He was walking in. Like, you know, it doesn't matter if Harold was standing there or EJ or anybody. He just barges right in. I love that. So they have more dialogue and more passion and more, you know, push and pull and everything. It was really dramatic. Lauren and Ian did a great job. It was really, and it really gave Lauren some meaty material because she's realizing the gravity of what she's done and how this can never be divulged. Stefano can never find it out, which, of course, we know he does find out. And then, of course, wouldn't you know it, while Ian's there at the mansion, Stefano conveniently calls after he's not been able to call her for five, 6 weeks. You know, he drops off the face of the earth, he leaves her a note on the chessboard, takes off for Alamania, never to be heard from again. That was the other part of it. When you don't have information, your brain, this is only human nature, your brain starts making up all kinds of reasons why this person isn't calling you. So Kate had pretty much thought he left her and he didn't love her anymore and all this stuff. So Stefano, snake that he is, he knows that she's already fallen for this. His goons have already seen that she's been at Ian's hotel room and everything. He knows that they've slept together. So he acts as if, you know, everything's fine. He's so sorry he hasn't been able to call. He's been so busy. And she's like, oh, why are you just calling now and everything? And she's feeling guilty now because he's like, oh, I can hardly wait to see you and hold you in my arms and all this. He's just pouring it on thick. And she's feeling more and more guilty. And he goes, oh, and by the way, I just wanted to warn you ahead of time. I'm having a package delivered. I just want to let you know. It's just we're tracking Marlena to have leverage with John because I'm over here with John. And so I just want you to know it was nothing personal. It was all business. And so then, of course, thud, she realizes. She has no idea he was just testing her. But she realizes, oh, crap. he's not really in love with Marlena. I'm the only one he loves, blah, blah, blah. So now we basically have two men in her life. One is fighting for her. One wants her. And the other one is pissed off as hell that she's betrayed him. And so Kate has found herself in a bit of a pickle. So next week, tune in next week to see what happens. But Ian did, she did ask him to leave, and he said, I'll leave, you know, but only because you asked me to. And she's crying, and he kisses her on the cheek, and it's like, oh, and he leaves. But she's realizing, you know, because she loves Stefano, even though she loves Ian too. She loves Stefano, and they had a really solid thing going. But then now she's made to believe that she's the one that's made the big mistake, and she's the one that's in the wrong. When in actuality, Stefano should have never done that to her. He should have never set a trap for her like that. But that'll come out in the wash, I guess, later. But that's basically where we leave it until next week. He's going to come back and wine and dine her. He's already, I believe he said he's already reserved a table in a private, you know, place at the Horton Town, probably where everyone can see it at the Horton Town Square. But it's going to be quite dramatic next week, so tune in for this story because this triangle is really, really, really intriguing. The end.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him. I don't like what Stefan is doing, the case. I mean,
no.
I don't understand where that came from.
That was weird.
Came out of it, yeah.
Yeah, very weird. Only thing I can think of I asked during the podcast with Warren and Ian, I said something like, well, do you think Stefano or his goons, or the secret cameras he has everywhere in town, spotted them kissing in the Horton Town Square? Because they kissed rather publicly when he first came to town. They kissed two or three times, as a matter of fact. So I'm wondering if Stefano got wind of that and realized that, okay, Ian's in town. This is going to be, you know, a challenge because I know they have feelings for each other. So I'm just going to test Kate and see how she does.
Could be.
I don't know. It's a shame, really, because, but I'm happy for on the acting side. I'm happy for Lauren and for Ian. And for Joe, because I think they're going to have some great material to work with. But leading up to it, it was a pretty shaky, you know, like, why would Stefano do that? So hopefully we'll understand why he did at some point. But somebody tweeted, NBC tweeted a clip of him that said, why is Stefano crying? And I had three different responses to that. The first one was, I'm still trying to figure out why he was crying 3 months ago and left town. They haven't answered that, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, he ran off to Alemania, and, you know, not saying goodbye to anybody or anything. And it was supposedly because of what he read in that letter in the safety deposit box that Alice left for him. So
which
we
is,
don't know. We
is,
still don't know
yeah.
3 months later what's going on.
But we're going to know this week.
We know now.
Okay.
We know now.
Yeah, well, we know now. But I'm saying as far as the show goes, it's been three plus months and we've not. You know, we still have not, it has not been revealed. We know what it is, but, you know.
And this is going to create a firestorm, too, because there's a lot of people that don't like, you know, what's going to be revealed.
So,
I will spoil it. Yeah, it's, EJ's not Stefano's son. That's the big thing, which we all, we all speculated that's what it was anyway.
Yeah.
It's stupid, and it doesn't make any sense.
It's anticlimactic at this point because that's the thing.
He'll always be Stefano's son no matter what. He was raised by Stefano, so he's still Stefano's son no matter what, really.
So, you know, we'll have to see how that all pans out. But anyway, to this point, in the show, we haven't seen that yet, so it's kind of like they've been dragging that out to the point where I almost forgot there was a secret. I almost forgot he had been crying. And then, and then I had a few other responses to why Stefano was crying, but had nothing to do with that. But anyway, so we'll see how. So that's the big story next week. I think Stefano's rage. He comes back into town. And if anyone recalls the scenes when Stefano found out that Kate lied to him about Chad's paternity, and you betrayed me, and it's like it shook the walls. You know, when Joe is playing Stefano,
when he breaks
his
glass,
he gets those
Ooh.
R's rolling. You betrayed me. You know, I mean, it's like I would imagine if I were Lauren, I would feel it through every cell in my body. I mean, being that close to it, I would probably be scared to death. I'm not even acting. I'd just be scared. So, if Stefano was pissed because she didn't tell him that he was the father of Chad at that time, I'm thinking he's probably going to be pretty pissed that she slept with another man. Could be a guess here, but I'm thinking he's going to be pretty mad. So for Kate fans, we're both looking forward to it, and we're also nervous because we don't want to see Kate, you know, in peril and all that and in pain. But it's good material for Lauren, so we're happy about that part. So speaking of Chad, so how many people fast-forwarded through Chad and Melody's love scenes?
Oh, I did. Honestly, I did. Couldn't stand
it. I did, too.
I did, too.
And
I didn't even know.
Because I think they're adorable as a real couple. You know, I think they're adorable in real life because they live together in real life.
I don't know.
A couple. But there was just nothing. I just wasn't into seeing them in bed together. There's just something.
No.
I don't know.
What I did enjoy was EJ finding out about what Stefano did about John when he came across the
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Billy was snooping in there, and he caught her. She put it away, so he found what she was looking at, and he went through. And here he found that it was, you know, that it was Stefano that got jawed off. And then Nicole comes in, and then Nicole comes in and tells him that she found out it was Stefano that rigged, you know, the ballot stuffing so Abe would win. So, no, EJ finds out basically Stefano betrayed him. He's all, those were good scenes between James Scott and Harry. I think they did a good job on that. But now we understand that Stefano did that just because EJ isn't his son, or I don't know what his reasoning was.
But Harry pointed out he allegedly then stabbed EJ in the back before he found out he wasn't his son.
Right.
He read the letter after he thought EJ lost the election.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually they really screwed up the timing.
Yeah,
tells me
it kind of wasn't making sense to me. Okay.
Yeah, which tells me when they did the whole storyline, they didn't know what the secret was, and they just made it up now, which is what they seem to do all the time. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Why would he do all this stuff, bad stuff to EJ? And because at the time he thought EJ was his son, so why would he sabotage the election? I mean, I could see him saying, "Well, I did it for Lexi." Okay, that one makes sense. But they're trying to say, "No, he did it because EJ's not his kid." So,
yeah, that doesn't make sense. I don't know.
That doesn't make sense. There has to be a bond there somewhere. Just because it's not a blood bond, it just drives me crazy when they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's still a bond. That's
like,
the same with like Tony.
Was he really choosing between Lexi, one kid, and one kid he thought was his kid but isn't anymore? Because he still loved Tony, and Tony wasn't his biological son.
Yeah.
He raised him. But, let's not forget that Stefano has actually killed some of his own kids, and he stuck Lexi in a hole for 6 months.
Yeah. That's true.
So,
he still
put
Tony on an island for 20 years, and he treated him like, he did. Yeah.
So, Stefano's a narcissist at his heart. So, as much as I love him, he's definitely narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
But, those scenes were really good. Those scenes were really good with Ari when Nicole came to the mansion thinking she'd be alone. And
he almost got her back. He's working his charm.
Right.
Oh, EJ at his best.
Oh, at the apartment. When he talked to her at the apartment, right? Why don't you tell that?
It's a mansion. It's a mansion.
Okay.
Yeah,
who
was at the door? A department, too, yeah. Those were good, too. Yeah, there was two different times. He almost, I think he's going to do it sooner or later. He's like, her in, but I don't know. And there was two scenes with Lucas and Sammy and the kids.
Yeah, those were cute. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed those.
Yeah.
I like it. I always enjoy Lumi scenes. I mean, even if, I'm a Lumi and an Jammy, so I enjoy when Lucas and Sammy are together, I really enjoy them together. And when EJ and Sammy are together, I really enjoy them together. But it was cute with the kids doing the campfire, doing the camping indoors because Sammy doesn't like bugs and stuff. That was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And but then they will want to talk about the jammy scenes
earlier. Oh, jammy still got it. I'm sorry, I have to say. I remember now why I back to that day when he first came out. Remember when his first appearance with the towel?
Oh, yeah.
Came out of the apartment. Still remember that. Yeah. Yeah, the sparks are still there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, that scene, the stuff was so bizarre. So EJ kisses Sammy to see if they still have chemistry, and which was, the answer was yes, but they said it was no. And then he tries to fix the pipe, and he doesn't turn off the water valve, and he ends up wet.
Yes.
And sure enough.
Right.
Then they decide to be friends without benefits. Mm-hmm. And then Rafe and Nicole show up, and they're kind of jealous about what's going on. And then Safe and then Jolie's split up. And then Sammy and Rafe have a really immature argument.
God. And
while this has gone on,
EJ and Nicole
are in the hallway, and they're having an amazing conversation. They're both being mature, and EJ's begging to take her back, and to take him back, and you can tell she's thinking about it. And it's such a weird juxtaposition when you have Faith sniping at each other, and you have Jolie being tearful and, discussing, how much they're hurting and all that. And I thought that was really fascinating. And then you throw Locust into the end of it, and he's camping out in Sammy's living room on Friday. I mean, it's just, it's just like, wow, honey. I mean, the only person not lusting after Sammy at this point right now is Austin. So this year.
Yeah, really. It's like the three different guys in her life. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's kind of interested in all three of them, which is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's happening.
But it seems the one she hates, the one she doesn't like to lead is Rafe.
Yeah.
The one she, Well,
yeah.
There was never any chemistry there to begin with, but yeah, she's the one that has the least chemistry. Yeah.
But she did say something to EJ about she hates Rafe, but she misses him at the same time. So, yeah, and then, go ahead, honey.
Oh, I was going to say, and I got to say, I still like Rafe and Nicole. I'm sorry, but I do. I don't know why, but I'm enjoying him with in scenes with Ari Zicker better than I've enjoyed him with anybody else.
I don't want to say that I like Rafe at all. It just like sticks in my throat. I don't want to say that.
But you got to admit,
Nicole is the only one so far that makes me in scenes.
Right.
With Kim
right.
and Carrie, I don't see it. I don't know why people see it. I don't see it at all.
Well, I did at first when Carrie and Rafe were in the office together. I actually, as cheesy as some of their scenes were, I actually did kind of like them together. But then once he got with Nicole, but once he started having scenes with Nicole again, I was reminded that I always enjoy their scenes whenever they've been in scenes together in the past. And I'm like, you know what? I'm really enjoying this a little bit more than I should.
Yeah, and there were times like way back, like even during the kidnapping and even before when they were together. You know what? That would be a good pairing.
Nicole would come over to the loft and they'd have a conversation. I'd be like, there's something kind of there. I don't know, a little bit. But I don't know. We'll see.
I like them better as friends. I don't think you should really go farther than that. But Brady is not in all this. I mean, let's pull him away from Madison.
Please.
Even though they're exes, Brady and Nicole were kind of BFFs for a bit, too. It just seems odd to me. She's leaning on Rafe, and she's not leaning on Brady. This Brady would be there for her. So that really is
actually someone for Brady.
Yeah.
You know what I'm wondering? Do you think Tomlin and those guys will bring Nadia back for Brady?
Right before
Nadia left, she finally had some like really decent scenes with Brady. She and Brady, and they were really pretty good. And I mean, I've always been a Brick Hole fan, so saying that is kind of like bad, but. I actually really liked those scenes when Brady went to her rescue and everything when she was a prostitute and all that stuff. So I'm kind of wondering if maybe they might bring Nadia back and, have her with Brady picking up the pieces after Madison leaves town, and then maybe Nicole gets in on that action somehow. I don't know. It's
threesome.
Just speculation. Well, not that kind of action. I mean, you would think that, Marianne.
That was me. I said that.
That was Carrie.
I was going to blame Marianne for the hoochie, but you're right. It was you. Sorry. Yeah.
I get blamed all the time.
Now, what about Looney Gabby? We're going from Looney Abby to Looney Gabby.
Looney Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, what's up with that? Is she going to, burn something down or something?
I don't know what she's going to do next. I don't know.
I'm like, what's up with
these beautiful women going all psycho. I guess that happens in real life, but I'm just thinking, you know, it's like,
Chad's the only straight guy that age, so they have to fight over him. That's pretty much the problem right there. The other choices are Sonny and Will, and they're kind of into each other.
Yeah, the Sonny Will. I loved how
Will broke it to Sonny that he, you know, told his grandma, it came out to my grandma that I'm gay. You know, like in a list of things to do. Like, he's like, well.
Because then I came out to my grandma. Yeah.
Came out to my grandma.
Yeah.
They were cute. They were really cute. I like this.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Thank God Alamania is over.
They're home. I saw that come.
And John and Hope.
We saw Sierra. We finally got to see Sierra again. I forgot about her.
Yeah.
She was adorable. She's like, oh, you lost a tooth. Oh my gosh. She is so cute the way she plays with Christian's hair. It's so adorable.
Yeah. And Hope and Billy hugged. Oh my.
Yeah. Lisa Rinna did a Depends commercial.
I saw her on the Today Show.
The Depends commercial, actually, it does show up on the blog and the advertisements if you haven't seen it yet. And
cool.
It's funny. Part
of me wants to cringe. The other part of me is like, well, you know, it's a problem some people have. I guess she's addressing it for some people, you know. More power to her, I guess. I wouldn't be brave enough to do that. Trying to make it sexy, however, I don't know. I'm never going to get past that, I don't think. I don't know. Let's just hope we don't have a product placement, a product placement for that at the show.
Yeah, Hope could be like, oh, Billy, I'm here to watch Belle. You can go to the bathroom now. Oh, I don't have to. I might depend on.
Oh, I just did. I mean, I don't mean to be insensitive. There are truly people who are struggling with that, and it's not something you made light. I should be making light of it. But yeah, that would be kind of a funny way to work it in. Like, okay, it's okay. I'm good for another couple hours. You haven't taken a break in 8 hours. Oh, don't worry. And she doesn't actually say it, but everybody knows what she's talking about. That would be hilarious. And the camera pans over to her purse, and there's like a package in there with it. Oh, wow. Oh, jeez. Oh. Crazy. Oh.
That's too funny.
Let's see. Gosh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Marlene is mad because John confessed he's still with the ISA.
Honestly, I don't enjoy Marlene and John, so I really don't care too much about that. But you know,
I don't know. And both started reacting.
It was nice for fans to get them back together. But see, that's another storyline that wrapped really quickly. All of a sudden, after dragging for 3 months, it finally, or 2 months, or a month, or however long it was, it wrapped all of a sudden too. And they still didn't get the damn divorce.
No, they don't have the divorce yet.
They're still not divorced.
No. And what's the coin? What's the encrypted? What's that going to post to reveal?
Well, I don't know.
Has been encrypted. What's that's the answer to what? What did he want that coin for?
I don't know.
Is that tie into something? But he already knows about the thing with Alice. And what if there's something more to that? I don't know. It's just all choppy. It just doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't make sense.
Oh. And speaking of that, we talked about EJ and the setting up John. He just discovered as part of this betrayal with Stefano that Stefano actually funneled the money. Like EJ was going to restore everyone's funds, the retirement funds and everything.
Right.
And he discovers that all the funds are gone. So Stefano's taking them. And I thought they alluded to some illegal arms deals or something. Is that what you guys heard?
Yeah.
He's dealing arms or something.
Out.
Yeah. So.
He's buying them, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Iran Contra 2.0. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well,
I don't
know.
Anyway,
time
to
wrap up,
so,
ladies.
I don't know.
Yeah, time to wrap
Alrighty.
It up for the week. Yeah, so Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, we have Patrick Muldoon and or Austin Reed. Depends on what time of mood Patrick's in. So call in and talk to Patrick. And, you okay?
Yeah.
And then
we'll see
who gets fired. Yeah, we'll see who gets fired this week. So.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. I feel sorry for whoever it is. You know, forever. This is a stressful time for everybody. It's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just hope for the best for Dave. All right.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys next Wednesday.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.